we go to public forum? Public forum. We're going to go to public forum, and we'll take speaker cards. The reason for public forum is to address matters not on the agenda. Not on the agenda. Do you have cards?
Or they were in back. I'm not sure.
Was you looking for a speaker card? I can't think of a thing to talk about.
Now do I have a pen?
A pen that you let you borrow when I spoke to you.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back and start public forum. Okay, let's resume with our public comment. Well, we have probably a little more than an hour. Yeah.
I'm going to probably have to leave.
Well, you can leave. When do you want? There's no more board. Well, panel.
There's no agenda. There's no board meeting. This is just an opportunity to talk to them.
Okay.
One person wants the last and third.
Well, where's the list?
Five, public forum.
I'm waiting for the cards. The cards, the paper cards, the cards. But wait. I'm not going to do it anyway. Okay, are we set to go? Mr. Fryant, can we proceed? Okay, folks, we're going to start public comment. I notice we've got three cards here involving agenda item six. Because we don't have a full board, we are not going to be discussing any direction to the prosecution team regarding future proceedings. That was on there in case we did have five board members. Otherwise, this is a panel and not a full board. So that item, though, will be on the next agenda, or a subsequent agenda, whether it's February or March, for discussion at that time and direction at that time, but not this evening.
Mr. Chairman, can yes. I mention something else that may influence what's discussed?
Yeah.
As you know, when the settlement agreement was out there and we gave people the option of either signing that or agreeing to sign it and having their names taken off of the hearing notice, many people did make that agreement with us. We have yet to receive seven signed agreements from people who agreed to sign it. So we will need, I'm assuming that you will want to schedule hearings for those additional.
Well, in other words, the deadline passed for them to sign the agreements?
Yeah.
Well, what I would do with board time is that those should be noticed for the next board meeting or subsequent board meeting for issuance of the cease and desist orders or consideration of them.
Right. So there are still at least seven more hearings
okay.
to go. That's what I was getting at.
Okay. And I don't, that's not what we were thinking about in terms of number six, but in terms of how to handle that. If there was a deadline set for signatures, and that deadline is passed.
That's passed.
People haven't decided yet, then the board would do is to have those items brought back for consideration of issuing the cease and desist orders.
Okay. We encourage that to happen as soon as possible.
Would it happen for the February meeting?
We're prepared to do that.
Okay. Okay. Well, whether it's February or March, you know, I'll leave that up to, obviously, to the prosecution team and to take care of the noticing of it. You would take care of Michael.
Right. February. The February meeting is in Salinas. We could do ask counsel. I don't think there's a problem with doing it in Salinas legally.
Yeah.
It would require those.
No, legally you can do it anywhere within the region, but obviously the consideration of convenience for the designated parties is relevant.
Right.
Well, my argument on that is they had their chance to have a hearing locally, and I would urge the board to do whatever they think it will be the best way to resolve that, whether it means going to Salinas or not.
Okay. What about Mr. Sato's traveling?
I don't think it matters.
Okay, Mr. Richards, because you have to travel. It's probably easier for you coming from, well, from the Sacramento area.
Well, it depends. My schedule is impacted by when the San Diego Regional Board is having its meetings and so forth. So this is what? When is it?
The 9th, February 9th.
February 9th. February 9th should be feasible.
Okay. All right. Well, but there's seven people.
It would be difficult.
Well, if you can get it out, get it out. If you can't, then it goes to March. So, see what you can do. But by March, at some point, I'd like the board to have it to be able to discuss in terms of how it sees things progressing from this point on. So we have to conclude the 45. Either there are signed settlement agreements or there are cease and desist orders that have been issued or rescinded and new settlement agreements issued for those. So that has to get past us, and then the board can have a discussion.
The board could have this item, which is listed as item number 6 for today, or would have been item number 6 today. You could have that on March, but not have any written material submitted to the board. So if the board concluded all of the proceedings with respect to these cease and desist orders, towards the end of that meeting, they could have that discussion without having seen any written material on it.
In February or March?
In March.
Okay. All right. So you want to notice that for March?
Correct.
Number 6. And then possibly notice the 7 unsigned settlement agreement.
For February?
Proposed CDOs for February.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll try to do that, see if we can get it out in time.
Yeah, Carol.
I just wanted to mention that the February agenda has already gone to Sacramento for print.
So we would be sending out a corrected version of the February agenda.
It might just make more sense to do it in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would be less confusing.
Okay. What is what is the March hearing day?
March 20.
The 23rd.
23rd.
So we'll do it in March.
Okay. March it is.
Okay. March for, if you look at agenda item 6 today, there was going to be some board discussion about direction to the prosecution team in terms of procedure and process.
We're going to do the
in March also.
In March.
Yeah. Now, what will happen is they're going to notice cease and desist order hearings for those 7 for the March meeting. If they sign the agreements, then there won't be cease and desist order hearings for them. Yeah, but we have to notice the proposed issuance of the CDO. We can't just do it by default at this point.
No.
Well, that's what we're going to do, is have it noticed for March. And that way, if they don't show up or don't have anything signed, then it would go by way of default. Okay. We've got about 30 cards, so that could be an hour, hour and a half then. And these would be 3 minutes each. Comments not related to the enforcement proceedings or the cease and desist orders. Okay, so you want to talk to us about what the county is doing, the Prop 218 vote, things of that nature, that's fine. But not regarding the individual cease and desist order hearings. Okay?
Would you please clarify what you just said regarding the meeting and those who are recalcitrant in signing the agreement and or the meeting that is to take place in reference to item 6 on the agenda?
Okay. Item number 6 on the agenda is going to be put on the March agenda. We're not going to talk about it today because we don't have a full board. So number 6 will happen in March, not in February. There are 7 people that had indicated to the prosecution team that they were going to sign the settlement agreement. They haven't done so. The deadline for doing that has passed. So what I have instructed Mr. Thomas to do is to notice those 7 properties for issuance of proposed cease and desist orders for the March agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, March agenda.
Here.
It's here in San Luis Obispo. Okay. All right. Okay, Mr. Martin, Ms. McPherson, number 1029, Lisa Schicker. So let's start with that group. Mr. Martin. Don't see Mr. Martin. Okay. All right. Mr. McPherson, are you here? Yes, there you are. Go ahead. Well, he'll go after Ms. McPherson. Go ahead, Ms. McPherson.
Good afternoon. It's been a long day, and it's been a long year. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things that I think are important, and that's that the anticipated timeline for the Prop 218 election is a chart that looks like this. And if you haven't received that from the county or from PAVO, it was part of a town hall meeting that occurred in Los Osos, and there may even be some information out there in the way of getting a video so you could see what's up.
Is that on the county's website?
You know, I don't think this one is.
Because they have their own website link to this issue.
Yeah, I was there last night and asked PAVO to get this to me, and so he did send it. And I wanted to make sure, because I think that the timeline you were using before was the one from the June 19th, and that's what's on the website, June 19th. This is an updated timeline, and I just thought you might be interested in it since it's tied to some of your issues. Not ones that I'll mention here in public comment. The Los Osos CSD on October 5th passed a resolution 2006-27. And what was really interesting about that was that resolution was to put out a voluntary program for the community to comply with all of the things that might be included in an enforcement action in a proactive way. And there was a good response from the community. And I just wanted to let you know that that is something that the CSD was working towards and is still working towards. And I don't know that you would have had that information. And then last is that there is an organization that works in behalf of people in Los Osos, and that's the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund. They're going to be also working to try to find other stakeholders in the area and the whole watershed outside of Los Osos with common issues and work towards putting some priorities together for the review of the basin plan when it comes up in the recommendations come up later this year, and put that information in so that that can be considered. I think it's time that there's more involvement and rather than the reactive mode, and becoming proactively involved in that, not just citizens but also the other experts in the area. Anyway, that's. I just wanted to let you know that that's what's kind of going on, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, thank you for your comments. Is Mr. Martin here? Mr. Martin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Brief comment following up on what Mrs. Gail McPherson brought up regarding the provision of some legal defense fund. I know that you recommended that we acquire counsel for many of the defendants of the CDOs, and of course we're very proud and very happy that we had Shauna Sullivan here representing at least one of the defendants. And I think that she has submitted a lot of testimony that we'll be able to use very successfully in our appeal against your what we feel are capricious rulings. And we are encouraging the public to understand, I'm president of the Provincial Zone Legal Defense Fund. Our objective is to help every citizen in Los Osos to see a way clear to defend themselves against the onerous events that have transpired here today and previously. And I think that Beverly DeWitt Moylan and Mr. Moylan gave testimony that brought out what I feel was a humanness in the human element, you know, that is lacking in these hearings. There is no human element at all.
This is really inappropriate discussion for the public forum in view of the fact that the board, when it meets at its at a subsequent scheduled meeting, is going to be considering the enforcement proceedings that Mr. Martin is now talking about. It is not appropriate for Mr. Martin to be addressing the board about these matters outside of the scheduled proceedings that have been provided for that specific purpose. So if Mr. Martin wants to talk about other matters that are within the board's jurisdiction but do not have anything to do with the proposed individual cease and desist orders or enforcement proceedings related to the Los Osos Prohibition Zone, then this is an appropriate time for him to be doing that.
All right. Well, thank you. I think I've said what I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you. Number 1029.
Good evening, board. Mr. Richards, if I go into the wrong area, please correct me. I don't mean to offend the board and comment on improper actions. I just wanted to follow up on some comments made by Mr. Hayashi earlier in the hearings.
Well, that you're going right into
that's,
an area.
That's not an appropriate thing. To
not,
comment
not
upon.
Not direct to a hearing, though.
Let
me see.
Mr. Hayashi's comments were in the context of a panel hearing on an enforcement proceeding that is pending before the board.
And this isn't.
I
think I'm okay. Let me finish the question, and I'll accept no answer if it's an improper question.
And I think Mr. Hayashi's comments had to do with why the county project didn't go forward.
And that's,
and that's
comment.
What you want to talk about. Go ahead.
Is that...
Go ahead.
I just wanted to suggest to the board that it's not a simple cut-and-dry issue that... And I want to state for the record, it's not as simple as cut-and-dry as it may appear that the CSD was formed and all of a sudden a project stopped. And I just wanted to suggest, if the board did have any interest in it, they could contact several members of the community and get a bit more detail on that topic. And I hope I'm on topic, and that's my comments for this evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's fine. Let me remind you that this is not for the record. statements made during this public forum opportunity do not become part of the record that will be considered by the board in the context of the enforcement proceedings.
I meant for a general public record.
For that, yes. General public record, this is the appropriate time.
Great, thank you.
Okay, Ms. Schicker.
Hi, my name is Lisa Schicker. I'm a resident of Los Osos and a board member now of the Los Osos CSD board. Our president is President Cesena, and he's been working with your staff on our liaison committee for the regional board, and he had to leave. So I have some CSD news, and I have some other issues of my own. The first one is taping. If you can afford these proceedings and the length of these proceedings, you can afford to take.
Yeah, that's the problem. I stopped the clock for you because we did have this discussion before. We don't tape, all of our proceedings.
Okay.
This has been kind of the exception up until a certain point in time when the rates went up.
Well,
I know that has created a problem for
it
us.
Sure,
if we had the money, I think that they're worthwhile to do.
Okay.
But the board doesn't get involved in that. Staff is involved with budgeting issues. Our money comes through allocation through Sacramento.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Okay. I know that the State Water Board meetings are taped and streamed, so I would encourage you and your staff to lobby hard for taping. The second thing I wanted to bring up was about the progressive enforcement policies. I'd like to just refer you again to the progressive enforcement policies that your board and the State Water Board adopt and endorse. I read them often, and they suggest that there are many ways to skin the cat. And just like you to keep that in mind when you consider the types of enforcement actions you take for first-time offenders, severity of offense, the offender, the limit, the amount of pollution, etc., in all actions that you take from Monterey down to Santa Barbara, including our county. The third thing I'd like to do is read a section of 8313. And it states this, and I just wanted you to refer this to staff, and for further study, I think it's important and relevant. Failure to comply with any of the compliance dates established by Resolution 8313 will prompt a regional board hearing at the earliest possible date to consider adoption of an immediate prohibition of discharge from additional individual and community sewage disposal systems. Additional. Date, 8313. Please have your staff and your board please relook at 8313. Another thing I would like to talk about is Morro Bay. I've been reading in the paper. That's all I've been doing so far about that. But it says the nitrates in Morro Bay's water are four times the level of Los Osos. And I want to know why, and I want my water board to research that issue, my water board staff. I think that's relevant and important to do. Four times the level of Los Osos with a sewer plant with gravity collection. I think it's very important to know the reason and cause for these nitrates, and I think the community and the county of San Luis Obispo deserves an explanation from our water board staff. Another thing I would like to talk about is our CSD's relation with your board. When I was an activist and helped form a Los Osos Technical Task Force, the name of the group was Scientists and Engineers for a Responsible Wastewater Project. Back in 2003, that was the name of our group when we started to testify before you. Mr. Young himself said to me, and I remember it like it was yesterday, if you don't like this project, you change your board. That's who we work with. We work with duly elected officials. That is what I'm encouraging this board to start doing. We have tried, and we will continue to maintain that relationship. We encourage it. Please work with us. We are the duly elected representatives. I have one more point. May I make it? It's very important. It has to do with something that, Mr. Young, you suggested I do last month.
Go ahead.
Quickly. You mentioned, I said that I think we should start working on the basin plan amendments. You said, I think that's a good idea. Talk to our staff. I brought it back to our board. We have a vote in a letter. We'd like to invite you to come to our meetings to talk about how we can participate in the Basin Plan amendments. We'd like to participate, and we encourage full countywide participation of agencies, people, and your board. And we are inviting you to our meeting, and we want to open the door to get that going as soon as possible and want to know how.
What part of the Basin Plan?
The Basin Plan that relates to the Los Osos groundwater basin.
The prohibition.
The whole basin plan as it relates to the Los Osos groundwater basin, including prohibition zone or anything that's in there. I've read it. There's not tons that are about Los Osos in there. But I know you have an amendment process. I need your staff to come to our board and help us.
It might be helpful if you have your staff write to our staff and lay out what issues you think need to be looked at with the basin plan.
Yes, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. We have limited staff. You have a big staff. And we did vote on it last Thursday night, and that's exactly what we want to do. Invite you to come to our meeting, participate in the process, have you instruct us of how we can participate in the process, and encourage countywide participation in the amendment, the triennial review, whatever it is, of the basin plan, and we need your assistance with that to help clean the water of our county and our Los Osos groundwater. So thank you very much.
Well, Ms. Schicker, we do have staff that are dedicated to working on the basin plan. I just suggest you can call them up on the phone and get some of this information very quickly from them in terms of how to participate in this process. You know, the board itself doesn't get involved in that.
You don't direct staff to get going on this?
It's an automatic thing that they do periodically. The renewal of basin plan issues goes on all the time.
Okay, and who should the letter be written to since we did vote on it last Thursday night?
Well, you can send it to Mr. Thomas.
Mr. Thomas?
Okay. Yeah.
We'll send it to you and look forward to working on that with you.
Okay.
Great, thank you.
All right, thank you for your comments. Let's see, Ann, is it Nomert? Yes? I believe so. Okay. Ellen Lodge and Dorothy Hammond, and then Bo Cooper.
Hi, Ann Norman, Los Osos. And I, like Gail, just wanted to provide you with this information that the county gave out at its time at its town hall meeting, which was very successful in Los Osos. And I wanted to point out some information that was different than your staff had seemed to be working with in the past. So the 218 vote is scheduled to be actually finished by the county in mid-December of 2007, not in the summer of 2007 as was originally thought in the June staff report that your staff was using. And that this is kind of, and I'll leave this with you, and this is kind of a segue for a larger point I'd like to make, is that as far as the whole wastewater treatment issue in Los Osos, I just want to see better clear-cut communication between your staff and the county staff. I actually asked county staff why this timeline information wasn't in your staff's hands earlier, and they in fact told me that they had contacted your staff. So I don't know where the ball got dropped on taking up that communication. I have a lot of positive regard for Mr. Paavo Ogren and his staff. I believe they're very sincere in their desire to work with citizens of Los Osos as well as your board. And I just encourage you to try to update yourself as regularly as possible about what their proceedings are. I think they have a pretty realistic timeline, but they have a tall order to get this 218 vote even done by next December.
Mm. And you know what, Ms. Noman, I looked on the county website myself and did not see this timeline. So you might suggest that the county, when they do update something, that they update their website.
That's an excellent point, and I've actually made that point to them a few times, but I think they didn't feel that this was critical to do in December because they had, in fact, called your staff with this timeline.
Let me just offer this observation to you. This date doesn't really change anything because, if you recall from the board's discussion, the vote is by mail. And so the county is going to be able to do that 218 vote, you know, with a lot more flexibility than if they had to call an election with voters to come to a polling place.
I'm just thinking about it in terms of how you think about, you know, sometimes delays happen in different processes. As you go forward with, you know, whatever you're going to do regarding this, I think you don't, I believe that you really want clean groundwater in Los Osos, that you, like us, do not want to see the county process undermined in any way, and there's enough tension in Los Osos as it is, and so at least getting clear-cut communication on the timeline would be probably really helpful to everyone.
I appreciate that, and just to let you know, I mean, there is flexibility built into the system, so...
Yeah, I appreciated the discussion before about that.
Right.
I think that could have happened.
Okay, Ellen Lodge, followed by Dorothy Hammond. Is Ellen Lodge here? Okay, no Ellen Lodge. Is this Ms. Lodge or Ms. Hammond?
Ms. Hammond.
Okay.
Hammond.
Go ahead, Ms. Hammond.
Dorothy Hammond, residents of Los Osos since 2000, and... not realizing we moved into a prohibition zone, but we're told it was a moratorium on building, and I guess when I was in high school, moratorium meant something different than what it is now. One of the things I'd like to ask the board to consider is to have their June 6th meeting in Los Osos. We have the facilities, we can handle, and we are a bedroom community. We are full of retired people, but we also have working class families that aren't able to attend some of these meetings and be able to speak and give you their opinions. And I would like you to consider that. And there's a song from my era, Accentuate the Positive, and I'm trying to do that.
Okay. Can these folks write us letters?
Pardon?
Can they write letters?
I'm not sure. You mean the folks in Los Osos?
Yeah.
I would imagine.
That feel that they can't attend meetings because that's a hardship.
I would imagine, but I'm thinking that having you come to our community is a reaching out, I feel. But if it's not possible, I'm just asking you to think about it.
The June meeting is an off-site meeting where the board actually discusses more internal.
Oh, I see.
Agenda.
That's what you mean by off-site.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not out of sight, just off-site. Okay.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and they're open to the public, too. But
okay.
All right, thank you for your comments. Bo Cooper, Lacey Cooper, and Lawson Schaller.
Hi, Bo Cooper. I want to help out Matt Thompson. When Shauna Sullivan asked about the...
You're not speaking about a specific cease and desist order item?
No. About the... Matt Thompson didn't know what the 13241 was, so I'd like to inform him on that, because that has to do with affordability. So in part 13241 of the Port of Cologne Act says, factors to be considered by a regional board in establishing water quality objectives shall include...
Excuse me, but are you trying to have communication with the board regarding the proceedings that have just been concluded?
I'm trying to inform all those, since Matt Thompson, who's in
this,
charge of it...
I'm going to advise the board that it's inappropriate for you to be attempting to... to communicate with the board about a matter that is pending before it at this time.
This is not so much, in my opinion.
Mr. Cooper, it is. Please. You talk about other things. We went over that. And you're referring to his testimony and comments during the specific cease and desist order matter.
I guess it's more of a general education. If you
want to educate Mr. Thompson, then I suggest you schedule an appointment with Mr. Thompson. But I am going to advise the board that listening to your communication at this time is not appropriate.
Since Mr. Thompson wasn't clear about what a very basic rule was, I'm not sure that you guys know, and I want to make sure that you guys know.
Whether he's informed or not doesn't affect us.
Right, but since there's a level of connection,
just because he said he didn't understand what the statute was doesn't mean that we did not.
May I ask if you guys do?
Yes. Now, thank you for your comments. Okay. Do you have anything else that is not directed towards an individual cease and desist order matter?
Okay.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
The 218 vote for the county, I think that's a coerced vote, because if we do not pass that vote, the project will not go forward. If the project does not go forward, 2011 will come along, and the people live in Los Osos.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is not appropriate communication. This is directly related to the proceedings that are before the board, and I can't allow you to participate in this communication.
I'll back off. Let me make one meta comment then. I'll back off what I'm saying. This has to do with process, not with what happened. I work in mental health. I've worked in mental health for many years. I'm very concerned about the way Mr. Thompson and Mr. Sato acted while the people were speaking, especially Beverly DeWitt Moreland. They looked away. They paid no attention to what she was doing. It was very cold.
I'm sorry.
It was empty.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
It spooked me very much.
Mr. Cooper. And Mr. Cooper, please. Come on. I guess you're not able to just speak about things not on the agenda today. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I say that I have disregard for you guys.
Okay. Lacey Cooper.
Okay. Hi, this is Lacey Cooper. I'll just pretend I'm not from Los Osos. Anyway. I had a kind of questions about the history of this.
Of what?
The history of the sewer in Los Osos, which doesn't have to do with the agenda item. It's just a history. I just wanted to know did your board approve, and I don't know when, did your board approve a sewer project? Does it allow 7 milligrams per liter of nitrates to be discharged? That's my question. When did you approve that? It's a real question. I don't know the answer.
You have 2.5 minutes to give your public comments, Ms.
Okay.
Cooper.
If
you
want to ask that question?
If you want to ask questions of the staff, you can do that.
I ask
you don't need
staff.
To use board time.
It would be better to write a letter or send an email.
It would. Okay.
Yeah.
And I suppose it would be better to ask staff about if there was ever a septic maintenance program put in after the 8313. Is that better to direct his staff?
Yes.
Okay. The other thing is, because there is no money for these future proceedings, and I think it's important for people at home to hear them and they can't show up, it'd be a good reason not to have more hearings and CDOs because we don't have money to televise him. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Lawson Schaller, then Nancy Castite, and Alan Perlman.
Good evening, board and staff and fellow citizens. Lawson Schaller, Los Osos. And Mr. Richards, you may have to correct me here. I'm not perfectly clear on the boundaries.
Well, the boundaries are that in view of the fact that the board has before it, pending before it, enforcement actions against individuals in the Los Osos prohibition zones, it is inappropriate for the board to be communicating with any person outside the context of a proceeding at which all the designated parties are either present or have the opportunity to be present.
Okay.
About those matters in any manner, in any attempt to influence the board or its decisions or its proceedings.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that may have been a premature apology on my part, but I'm not sure. So, last year, AB 2701 was introduced and eventually became, to the governor's desk and was signed. County gained control, and well, the AB 2701, I think a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people view that as a milestone or perhaps significant progress. The county, of course, now legally has control over the wastewater project in Los Osos, and I believe they've got approximately $2 million budget they're in the process of spending. And I think a lot of people, not everyone, but a lot of people would agree that that is a milestone or significant progress. They've been out and presented a town hall meeting that was successful in many people's eyes. So I guess my point on that is, as far as a definition goes, could that be viewed as significant progress? I'm not sure on the definitions of some of your procedural matters, but I just wanted to bring that up and reiterate it. In my mind, it seems like a great deal of progress is being made and a lot of momentum. And then I'd also just like to reiterate what Ms. Schicker said about the nitrates. When I've heard and read that it's four times higher than Los Osos, it certainly got my attention. And certainly look to the board and staff for an explanation to that, because they spent an awful lot of money on a sewer and collection system and treatment. And if their nitrate levels are high, I think we should know why. It's not the only reason to collect water and treat it, but that's one of the big ones we're discussing. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. I thought you had. All right. Mr. Perlman, then Laurie McCombs, and then Mr. Dugan.
Before you start my time, could I ask a procedural question, and that is to make sure that since you removed item 6 from today's discussion, it is still not to be discussed by me, because it concerns a future action. That was unclear to me. Mm. I would have hoped to have been able to speak about item 6 in general.
Well, item 6 is going to be on a future board agenda, and it would be appropriate to talk about that at that future board agenda when the entire board, or at least a quorum of the board, will be contemplating and dealing with that matter.
Okay, well, it also relates to CDOs, which I understand I'm not to be speaking.
That's right.
In general,
the item was scheduled, the item was arranged on today's agenda to take place after the conclusion of the hearings and board deliberation on the cease and desist orders. Since a quorum of the board could not attend a meeting and this turned out to be a panel hearing instead, those items have been deferred until a subsequent meeting of the board, at which time this item 6 will be taken up after the conclusion of the consideration of individual cease and desist orders, at which time it would be appropriate for the board to discuss this matter and for you to comment upon it.
I thank you for that very complete answer. I would like to possibly go again into procedural matter, but perhaps Chairman Young could make his own decision as to when to start my time. I'm wearing this hat.
I'll start right now.
All right. My hat says gin on it, and I just brought it in as a symbol because I wanted to clarify whether or not I can speak about water, or specifically within public speaking, where is that fine line? But as another procedural point, I'd like to ask a hypothetical question for clarification, and I would prefer if it could be answered within the flow of, or in other words, immediately after I ask it. This is my hypothetical, not rhetorical question. If I am unjustly interrupted in my comments, would this be a violation of the Begley-Keene Act, or does some other public hearing law apply? That is a question to Chairman Young, and I believe he has chosen not to answer it at this time. I would also like to alert people concerned with the health of the bay that on Wednesday, a Morro Bay Citizens Group will meet with city officials to discuss the high nitrate levels at Morro Bay City, a sewered community, experienced recently. I believe that I asked several months ago in this very room of Matt Thompson what would be found if Morro Bay City groundwater was tested for nitrates. I believe he waffled. Since then, several people in Morro Bay City have had ill effects from drinking contaminated water. So let's ask, what has the Water Board done for the health of the bay? Nada. They will not take personal responsibility. And these comments are meant to illustrate that citizens are well able to evaluate scientific data, also to demonstrate that the water boards of California have consistently failed to incorporate scientific data and scientific interpretations of data in their actions, to such a degree that protection of California waters cannot be positively affected by water board actions. This is a waste of public resources. In the remainder of my time, I'd like to read from excerpts from local newspapers, if I can find them. How are we doing?
40 seconds.
A few zealot environmentalists, these are not my words, but an excerpt from a local newspaper. It is actually from Tamales Bay. A few zealot environmentalists have professed wanting the creeks and streams to turn back 100 years ago when they were supposedly laden with fish. Well, I say dredge the bay because it is becoming mud flat bay and make it like it was 100 years ago when the schooners could all go the way down to the Lima Farmhouse restaurant. In 2003, the people of Tamales Bay were introduced to the data from the study of Dr. Kitts, the one of Morro Bay, and they all came to very similar conclusions. The Water Board has suggested that the failing systems contribute to an ill health in the bay, and this is now a barrier to continued discourse and scientific and public discussion of this issue. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. You can go. Laurie McCombs.
Laurie McCombs, Los Osos Cease and Desist Order 1026. I want to know why it's okay for you to pay your lawyer to drive from Sacramento down here, which is a whole day's drive because my parents live up there. I know the drive up and back, but to inform people in Los Osos that can't be here to publicly view these proceedings to know what is really going on. That is appalling to me as you people being public servants. I am a public servant for 26 years, and all that's ever been drained in, pounded into my head is to be nice to the public, serve the public. And this is what's not being done. I want to know why you just said, Mr. Young, that you don't have control over the dollars of the staff, but yet every document we receive is signed by Mr. Thompson with your name on it. But you don't have control over money. What, you know, it's like one minute you have control and then the next minute you don't. It's really hard to understand what it is that we can abide by when you're going one minute you can, one minute you can't. My third issue is about the fact that one of your staff members said, Los Osos voted on to put our sewer system downtown, which is so false. I'm appalled at a public employee will say such a wrong and false statement in this proceedings. The third thing, the money. How much money do you want us to dish out even before we get to hook up to a system? How much we should pay for filming. We need to hire a lawyer just to talk to our state servants that are being paid from everybody's funds, our state dollars. We have to hire a lawyer just to speak to you, and then you turn around and say this isn't legal proceedings. It's just... I still have time, so I can still talk.
45 seconds.
Fine. This is just appalling for you people to be state employees. It really is. I've been a state employee for a long time, and I've tried to talk to people all about why we have to do what we do and explain we're on their side. We're supporting them as a service. This isn't a service. And I really am just appalled at your behavior of, you don't care about the people's health of Los Sosos.
Mr. Dugan.
David Dugan, Los Sosos. First of all, I'd like to say that if you wanted to donate money to the Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund, you can do so at the Coast Bank in Los Osos and write it out to the PZLDF. Or you can send it to Post Office Box 6095 Los Osos 93412. And remember that there's 4,700 more enforcement actions to go. I was going to talk about the basin plan and other in the purview of this board, but instead I would like to announce that I'm part of a project that is doing a multiple series on these actions, and they're going to be aired on the public access channel, and they get videotaped, and it won't just be these hearings, but other things that have been shot as well to go on them. And the first one we should be airing by next week on the public access channel in for San Luis Obispo County. We do have it is very interesting. We compare statements and such what this board has said or have done, statements of the prosecution, as well as statements of individuals, and we put them together in such a way, sort of like how PBS would put something together. Fair and balanced? Well, we'll see. I'm not the producer of the first show, but I did help in finding points to put into it. I am going to be producing the second show, which is the questions of bias, process, and, of course, environmental justice. And I believe I've got charge of the third one, too. So that'll be on the public access channel in San Luis Obispo. I believe it's channel 2 for most people. I'd also like to say that, it gets trying here sometimes. And I've seen a lot of anger up here on the board. I don't know how I can tell you guys to be calm. It's pretty hard. I get a little upset. You see me go outside quite a bit. And I don't know. I'm not into yoga or the Zen thing, but I just like people to remember this. Don't be mad. Be right. And things will go a lot smoother. Thank you.
Wendy Owen, followed by Bruce Payne, then Rob Scheidt.
Ouch. Good evening, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I am wanting to speak just briefly and ask if you have an update on the spinach crisis, the San Luis or San San Juan Bautista issue. I have an article here from the Sacramento Bee, which I have given to you in the past and asked about, but it basically questions, this was in September 23rd of last year. It says here, in at least two instances, San Benito County and the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board, that's you, shirked their duties in making sure that natural selection properly disposed of vegetable wash water and sewage generated by 400 employees. It then goes down at the bottom, just to be abbreviated. It says the Central Coast Water Board has known about the apparent violations since February, but doesn't seem terribly concerned about the consequences. I reason to ask if you weren't wasting a little bit too much time here in Los Osos harassing people about septic tanks. They were given permits and were legally bought as homes with no disclosure. On another issue, I'm sitting here today wasting 6 hours of my day. I would like to suggest that maybe these CDO hearings be put on hold. I see us only butting heads. I see nothing good coming out of any of it for anyone. I see a lot of public taxpayer money being wasted. I see your time being wasted in what is just makes no sense. People in Los Osos that have septic tanks can do nothing about putting a sewer in any faster than democracy will allow. Sorry. You can't blame us, them, any of us. There are many people
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what I would like to suggest is
I'm sorry, but it is inappropriate for you to be talking about pending proceedings, and that is what you're doing.
Okay, and I accept that I possibly went a little too far beyond. I'm sorry. I request that these hearings be put on hold and that this board
I'm sorry, but it is inappropriate for you to be making that kind of request in this proceeding.
I'm asking this board then to review Resolution 8313. It was issued 24 years ago.
Thank you, Ms. Owen, for
your
comments.
It's time to consider dropping the unscientific prohibition zone.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Payne.
Could you tell me what I wrote down on the card I was going to talk about?
Legal rights, legal documents.
Okay, well.
But does that have to do with?
Yeah, I probably won't touch on them at all. Yeah. Okay. So basically, I'll just ramble on a little bit about politics here. I talk real slow, so I won't be able to say too much probably. Basically, I always felt that there's two things that the public who elects officials and pays for officials should be able to expect. And those two things are common sense and common decency. And I don't think that's asking for too much. Recently, we have had to go from, instead of where I used to walk through the back lot to the board meetings to waste my 3 minutes telling what I didn't like about what they were doing. Now I get to ride all the way to San Luis if I can get a ride, or drive myself to San Luis and waste 3 minutes talking to the board there about things that are on their agenda that I really wish they wouldn't do or would look at a little more seriously. Anyway, the last meeting I went to was about a month ago, I think. I haven't wasted any time since then on that. But on the agenda, there was a request by Pavel Ogren to hire some people on our project that we really felt were slanted in the wrong direction. We weren't able to get across to them common sense and common decency. So we opposed hiring those people, many of us made the effort to spend our 3 minutes. Some board members even took off work for the time to come in and make comment. Anyway, the outcome of that was that Pavel Ogren got up after we spoke and said that he had a lot of emails from everybody that said, oh, they really wanted these people to be hired and everything. See? And so what I'm wondering is if government's going to be controlled by electronic mail, shouldn't they put hard copy on black print on white recycled paper of who emailed and what their email address is and what their comments were that you could look at before you went to the meeting and the agenda? The way this turned out was the chairman gave us a great speech before the vote, and I think maybe even before the motion was made, about how we must be sensitive to Los Osos because of the last three elections. And I thought that was really kind of him to, you know, address the board that way. And so the motion was made to hire these people that we requested them not to, made the trouble to drive in there. And it was passed. And by the way, the vote was unanimous after he made this sensitivity speech. He voted to hire them, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Mr. Scheib? I don't know. Keith Weiner, Chris Alavi, and then Joyce Albright. Go ahead, Mr. Scheib.
Okay. I'm glad to see that you moved item number 6 off, and I ask that in the interim, if you would look at some of the other options that have been put on the table by Shauna Sullivan and myself. This way you have something else to consider before you sit down and start discussing it, as far as alternative options for future enforcement or whatever you end up doing with item number 6. Also, I'd like to talk with you and just, there's a document, you've seen it, the Los Osos Building Moratorium. This document that the county hands out that says on January 8th, 1988, the Water Board imposed a moratorium on new sources of discharge was developed by the County of San Luis Obispo.
Mr. Scheib, is that not a document that is part of the record of the proceedings?
Yes, it is, but that's not what I'm talking about. Okay.
But you are talking about it, and okay. this is a matter that is part of the record that's before the board that the board is going to be considering. It's not appropriate
Mr.
for
Richards,
you to be talking about
I
this.
I understand. Mr. Richards, could I run what I have to say past you because I think that you would agree that what I'm saying does not impact this. There's a problem with something that's happening between the board and the county, and it needs to be fixed. And the sooner it gets fixed, the better. And that is what I'm trying to address. And I would be happy to just tell you really quick. It'll take me 10 seconds. And if you think that it's not appropriate for the board to hear, then I won't say it. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Speak your piece.
Okay. I spoke with the County of San Luis Obispo trying to get them to change this. They won't change it because it was enacted through their conversations with your staff, and so they have to hear it from your staff before they're going to think about making any changes to it. And so I'm asking you to direct your staff to make those changes. Thank you.
And is that the language that's in that exhibit?
Having yes.
to do with an interpretation of 8313?
No, not 8313.
But it's kind of an interpretation
that
the county made.
No, it came from conversations that they had with Roger Briggs.
I've been thinking about this a lot because I think it's the source of a lot of confusion and a lot of people's frustration comes out of this document. The document is put up by the planning department, is it?
Yes.
And so it deals with people who are planning to do something. And so it talks about the prohibition zone in terms of planning to do something. The thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't say, oh, by the way, you're already in the prohibition zone and you're already violating the order because this is a planning document. It's a document that you would give someone who's going to build something. You wouldn't give this to someone who's already there.
Exactly.
And the problem is, even if you put that language in there, only people who are planning to do something are going to get it. So I don't think that really solves anything. But I understand where people who go in and get it think this is all that the prohibition zone does, when in fact that's only one thing it does.
Exactly. And that's. I was just looking if you could help correct the spread of the misinformation.
Well, I don't know if that... How could you correct it in a planning
document? Because they created this document. Basically, they had a discussion with Roger Briggs and created this document based on that conversation.
Okay. But the problem is there's nothing wrong with the document except that it doesn't.
Well,
the document is useful for people who are planning to do something.
Except for I don't think I can go into that part because if I start going into that, then that's going to be the other part.
We're probably way into that anyway.
Okay. Well,
maybe we can.
It's a good issue.
Mr. Shawcross, perhaps we can ask staff to send a letter to the county planning department asking them to.
I don't think it's necessarily inappropriate, but.
Right. Maybe to. Because there's. Obviously.
They're the ones who are responsible for septic tanks.
Whether it's
the county.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Put that in.
There's confusion.
Yeah.
So perhaps, Mr. Thomas, you could. Send something that would ask the county to put in some language to clarify what's going on with that. Okay.
And look at those other alternative options regarding number six.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Keith Weiner? Did I get the last name right? 1101 14th Street? Okay. I guess not here. Mr. Alavi, you're here. And then Joyce Albright, last speaker.
Hey, Chris Alavi from Los Osos, CDO number 1019. I just like some clarification on this water code section 13291.5, where they state that somebody will... assist the citizens in wastewater projects. Just what does that consist of, and who are the people who are supposed to be helping us, and in what way? I've heard that the 218 vote has no spending cap, and a spending cap can't even be voted or attached to it. I'd like some more info on that. And lastly, I'd like to thank all the people that showed up here today, AGP Video for taping us today on the cuff. And remember, there's about 4,500 more of us. Thank you.
Okay. What, Mr. Richards, what about the water code section?
Well, I'll bring it up and we'll take a look at it.
Okay. Why don't we go on to Ms. Albright, and then we can see if he can address your question about that. Ms. Albright?
She's on her way.
She's on her way. Okay. Now, did you submit a speaker card for your pooch?
Portable one. Oh, it bends. It bends. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Honorable Board. I've changed my notes around so much. Bear with me. Thank you for your patience and courtesy. I apologize for the conduct of my fellow citizens. We're not all like that. I am Joyce Albright, and I own two properties in the Prohibition Zone. I purchased my first property in 1985 and am sick and tired of all the controversy that has been stirred up around installing a sewer. We are poisoning the groundwater and the bay, and despite projected expenses, those who are responsible must act now to resolve that situation. I'm on a very limited budget myself. However, that does not absolve anybody of responsibility. In 2001, the total projected cost for the wastewater treatment facility was $84.6 million. We would now be paying less than $100 a month based upon that estimate if it were not for the many lawsuits and misinformation originated by sewer opponents. I gave Carol a copy of an old Bear Pride I found that quotes those numbers. Those of us who want an acceptable sewer for the lowest price possible now will be happy to work with the Regional Water Quality Control Board and Pavel Ogren of Public Works. We need a united front to approve the upcoming 218 vote and get on with building a sewer. For myself, I trust the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the county to get us that sewer. I would also request that somebody would escort me to my car for my own safety. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other member of the public wish to address us at this time? Otherwise, if Mr. Richards has that.
I'm not, Adobe is not answering today.
Okay.
Do you have a copy of Water Cologne?
Or how about the staff? Matt, do you have a copy?
I have a copy. Sorry. Electronic versions. It takes me a few minutes to bring it up.
Are you looking for a copy of what?
Water code.
Well, sure, if you can just bring it up.
And if there's a larger section that it's under.
I think the question goes to whether or not the regional board has a program to provide assistance.
Right, and how that assistance takes place.
I don't know what this is referring to.
Well, the question was about what the regional board is doing to assist people with septic systems.
I know, but...
And so we might as well see the statute that they're
fine,
talking about.
That's fine, but unless you see the broader code, sure what it's referring to.
Yeah, it's in part of the individual disposal system article.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ms. Marks, do you know about the section?
I
But do you know what it refers to? No? Okay.
Who's that troublemaker?
Mr. Alvesby. Is there a wireless network in the building?
Oh, honestly, yeah, I've got that.
But you can't you get it online? You can go to the water code.
Yeah, and when I try to open and I build
a
PDF document,
I see.
It disappears and freezes
my
web browser.
But you can go to something else, the Senate website.
Somewhere, yeah, somewhere there's
under legislation.
Joyce has got a haircut. She looks nice.
Is that Mr. Rothke back there?
Who?
Mr. Rothke. No, he's gone.
But which one was he?
Sitting in the back. And he was sitting with a woman.
Yeah.
And he left a few minutes ago. Was that him? Did it look like he was
there? I think so.
Okay.
Okay, go up.
Let's go up to the chapter heading. Mr. Alvesby, we have the language up on the... So let's go up.
Keep going. Held them at the top.
Okay, keep... Oh, see, that's not going to... Local. So it deals with on-site sewage treatment systems. Okay.
So it could be anything.
Well, I believe this has to do... If I'm not mistaken, 13291 is the provision that calls for the state board to develop...
It calls for the state board to develop the septic tank regulations. And those regulations are still pending before the state board. The state board is in the process of developing regulations that would eventually become applicable to all subsurface disposal systems throughout the state. But the process is still ongoing at this time. The regulations have been drafted. They've been out for public comment. They may have been redrafted. I'm not sure where the process is, in fact, at this point in time. This process has been going on since this section was added to the water code 3, 4, 5 years ago.
I think this was Assembly Member Hannabeth Jackson's legislation, AB 855 or something. 885, that's right. That's what it is.
So these are the performance criteria for the regulations.
It is.
So once these regulations go into effect, the legislature is expressing its intent to assist private property owners, but since the regulations haven't taken effect yet and are not being implemented by regional boards at this time, since they don't take effect, there is no assistance program available. And it does... Well, I mean...
Yeah, of the regulations.
The cost of compliance with these regulations, which is not, I mean, that's, these regulations, from what I have not been involved directly with the development of the proposed regulations in this context. However, from talking to, you know, some of the people who have been working with this program, among the things that have been discussed and that might be necessary as a result of the septic tank regulations are individual treatment systems. That, in other words, you would not be able to install, and you may have to retrofit existing septic tank subsurface disposal systems with some kind of treatment system, because septic tanks provide very little wastewater treatment. as it is, basic septic tank system. And the regulations are contemplating, and the legislature was contemplating the fact that the regulations might entail the installation of individual treatment systems at individual septic tank locations.
Which would be expensive.
Which would be very expensive. And I have heard people talking about costs ranging from $15,000 to $60,000 to retrofit a septic tank with the kind of treatment system that would be contemplated by this legislation and under the regulations that the State Water Board is currently in the process of trying to develop. But the fact is that's all very speculative because the regulations are still a work in progress, have not been adopted, and are still being worked on.
And then also the language here is that the legislature is stating that it wants to encourage the State Board to make loans available. It's not mandating that they do it, but the language is to encourage them to do it. And their loans, they're not grants, you know, so there would be.
Is that the assessed value of the property as opposed to income security, too? Particularly on social. Yeah. Having a house in Los Angeles is probably about $600,000.
Yeah. Okay, well, that concludes our panel hearing for today. The board will reconvene next month in Salinas. Thank you.